of green, red roses too.
This is Ed Cohen, your host of Global HR Talk Radio Show, coming to you today, July 15, 2013, from Old Town, San Diego. This is a broadcast of GlobalHRNews.com in association with Global HR Business, which is all about managing globally mobile talent for competitive gain. This is a talk show. It's a conversation. Today's guest is Elizabeth Sawyer. Elizabeth Sawyer was raised in England and Ireland until the age of 12. She is an international hybrid, and we're going to let her tell you about that. So let's welcome Elizabeth Sawyer.
Hi, Ed. Thanks for having me on the show.
No, thank you. I'm really honored to have you. So tell us what international hybrid means.
An international hybrid is somebody I think of who's either grown up here and there or has parents who are from here and there. And I mean, there's the term TCK, third culture kid, is out there, obviously. But I think it's somebody who has a blending of backgrounds in them, we'll say.
So Elizabeth Sawyer is an international hybrid, like many of the BSW children, Bennett School Placement Worldwide, BSW. She brings over a decade of teaching experience in three languages to her work at Bennett School Placement Worldwide. Now, this is a company that she owns now, and she leads a team of 20 highly trained educational consultants. So, Elizabeth, when you joined the Bennett organization in 07, what was it like then, and how does it compare to now?
Well, it was a wonderful company then. I think it was founded on simple and clear principles that families who are relocating should be counseled on school selection for their children by people who are education experts. And Georgia Bennett, who was the founder of the company and founded it in 1991, felt very passionately about this, that education is an important enough factor and component of relocation that support in that area should really be provided by people who really focused on nothing else. And so she started the company and built a team of consultants, all of whom came out of the world of education, and they represented all the different walks of education from early childhood to international, college, private school admissions, public school administration. And then she added training to their background. And she had maintained that over the years. And so it was a very solid company when I joined it, and I fell in love with it right away. And when Georgia announced that she was ready to sell and retire, I felt my heart leap. And so I have really continued to build the company based on her principles, which I think I continue to believe are very, very solid ones. So I think we're much the same, new leadership, obviously, but all of our consultants continue to be education experts and they continue to receive ongoing training. And I think that our ethos and our personality, we'll say, is much the same as it always has been.
So once again, we're talking with Elizabeth Sawyer, and she works with families moving inbound to the U.S. or outbound to Western Europe countries and beyond. And so in 2009, you purchased the company from the founder. And prior to that, you were on the Philadelphia main line, right?
Well, I was a teacher. I had been a teacher here for 15 years. I had taught English, French, and Spanish in private schools in the Philadelphia area. And then I think, like many women, I had taken a bit of time off to raise my own children, and I was kind of at a point where I was thinking about what my next step would be when I bumped into Bennett and the road became clear, so to speak. But yes, I had been teaching for years, and that was my background indeed.
And I'm reading your bio here. So it says you were educated in five different schooling systems, English, Irish, Spanish, French, and American. So you've got yourself a background there, don't you?
I do. And I did not have an educational consultant helping me with all of those transitions. And when I first met Georgia and she was interviewing me, she said, well, you were exactly the kind of kid we work with and we serve. And I thought back to my own educational trajectory and realized how some good advice and planning along the way would have been very, very helpful, actually. So I could really feel it with hindsight, what a great service it would be.
So let me ask you a question. Let's deep dive a little bit here.
Yep.
I see you're on the board of the Montessori School. How is a Montessori school different from a public school?
Oh, well, Montessori schools in the U.S. anyway are typically private schools, and so that's the first obvious difference in that, you know, we have two systems in the U.S. We have the public and the private, and in the public sphere, curriculum is set at the state or at the district level, although Common Core standards are coming in around the country, so obviously that's a factor. Private schools, you know, they typically have slightly smaller classes and they set their own curriculum and apply it with whatever philosophy is their philosophy. Montessori schools obviously follow to varying degrees the philosophy of Maria Montessori, and it's an approach to education based on the idea that children are eager to learn and that the role of a teacher is to enable them, to guide them on their path, but you're not sort of instructing downward per se. And it's very much about meeting the child at the child's own stage of development. I think people can mistakenly think of it as sort of a free-flowing and loose environment, but Montessori environments are actually quite disciplined and rigorous in a sort of quiet way. So it's a certain approach that obviously I'm on the board of a Montessori school, so I'm kind of a Montessori convert, but it's not right for everybody, but I think in general it's a terrific approach for teaching little children.
Thank you. Now let's move on to another question I have about the Association of Independent Education Consultants, IECA.
Yes.
I see you're a member of that. And how does this association work?
Well, it's a professional organization, and one has to earn membership in it. It's an association that really sets the standards for educational consulting. It sets a code of ethics and best practices. And in something like education consulting, you know, technically, anybody could hand out a shingle and say, well, I'm an educational consultant. And I think with education, we've all been to school, so to some degree, we're all experts. And so IECA, so obviously the first question, if somebody's going to engage an educational consultant, should be, well, what are your credentials? What's your experience? You know, who are you to be doing this? And IECA gives a framework to all of that. So in order to be an IECA member, you apply and you're essentially vetted. You have to have completed a certain number of school visits within a certain amount of time. You have to supply recommendations by people in the education world, like educational psychologists or admissions officers or people like that, who will vouch for the fact that you conduct yourself with integrity. And then ultimately, if you're in IECA, you have to agree to work by their code of ethics, which means if you, for example, if I'm working with a family and I want to send them to visit the Montessori school that I am on the board of, I have to disclose that to them in writing because there could be conflict of interest. So it really sets the guidelines for best practices, and it's the gold standard for education consultants in the U.S.
So talking about consultants, the consultants who work for Bennett, are they bilingual? They have experience living abroad?
They have all different kinds of experience. The one thing that they all have in common is a former career in education. And it could be in special needs. It could be in second language acquisition. It could be in public school administration or international schools all over the world. So they come to Bennett with all different kinds of experience, but they have to have had a significant amount of experience in the world of education. And then once they are a Bennett consultant, they continue to receive ongoing training in issues related to education and international education and all things related to the education issues that the families and corporations we work with face. So that's sort of the overview of them. Many of our consultants are IECA members or associate members or working towards membership. And as a company, we all work according to IECA best practices and ethical guidelines.
Okay. Once again, we're talking with Elizabeth Sawyer, and the company is BSW, Bennett School Placement Worldwide. So just quickly, if you could, in review about Bennett, it was founded in 91 with the idea that relocating families need support. And so how are you building up the business today, Elizabeth?
Interestingly enough, I think a lot of it is word of mouth. That when we work with one CEO who's moving into a new country and we help him or her and the family settle the children in schools, we found that our name gets passed along. So I think, you know, we're continuing to steward our clients thoughtfully and carefully, and we're continuing to provide very good service. And at the end of the day, that really speaks for itself. And, you know, we do some marketing and we attend conferences and things like that. And this is sort of a new world for me. I was an English and French lit teacher, so running and building a business is sort of an experiment for me. And what I've been discovering, much to my relief, is that if you simply do a really good job, things keep going well. So that's what we're doing.
So now let's talk about the process here. You're really a counseling organization, and so when people are relocated, it's not forever. For the most part, it's not forever. And that means there's going to be another move or an eventual repatriation, which means the schooling has to be part of a continuum of some kind. Is that correct, or am I wrong?
Absolutely, and I love the fact that you use the word counseling, because we really are a counseling organization as much as anything. We, you know, when families are moving their children, it's such a personal and such an emotional and gut-wrenching thing. And I think there's no parent moving their child away from their friends and to a new country or a new schooling system or just a new district if they're moving within the U.S. who doesn't feel some guilt about that. So it's a very, very human and intimate service that we're providing. And it's a combination service, and I think this is one of the things that makes it so interesting for us, in that we are conducting an actual school placement. So we're working with a family to understand the needs of their children. We are making recommendations for them about schools in a new location. That often requires considerable research on our part. We're guiding a family through an application process, perhaps. And sometimes we work with a family for a year. But in addition, you know, we're looking ahead, because every family believes that they're going to go home, whether they think they're going to go in 2 years or 4 years or whenever. And so many times planning for that repatriation or for a child's reassimilation into the home country education system is as important as the immediate school placement. And a lot of that will depend on where a family is coming from. A family, for example, coming from the UK to the US with a child who's, let's say, 11 years old and is going to be here for a few years, before they even move here, they're going to be wondering, how will my child go home if we've missed the first year of GC exam preparation when we move back? So making those roadmaps for families when they're going outbound on an assignment is often as important as doing the immediate school placement. And many times the long-range plan will affect where you place them in school as they take an assignment.
Well, let's talk about the real thing here, and that is family solidarity and more so happiness. And we know from surveys that failure to adapt on the part of the family or family members is the number one cause of assignment failure or disruption, and the schooling aspect is incredibly important, right?
Absolutely. It's a really key factor. You know, if children are unhappy, if children are falling apart, then the family unit is falling apart, and an assignment is much more likely to fail. And so that's when the problems arise, when an assignment is already underway. And that's really, really the worst time for problems to arise. And I always, you know, encourage companies to provide, for example, some pre-decision support for families so that we can figure out ahead of time, you know, how likely it is for the children to thrive in a given area. I mean, there are certain locations where, you know, special needs support just isn't really that available, or it's nothing like what kids would have in the U.S. And so if a family has a special needs child who has significant special needs, that should really be factored in before they ever go. But yes, you're absolutely right. It plays a huge role in assignments. Absolutely.
So, okay, now I want to go to fixing mobility in corporations. Bit of a sensitive topic for sure, but if the wrong people are sent on assignment, it's going to fail. And so part of that is to reduce risk. And
yeah,
in pre-decision, the relocation, the education part in relocation, of whether it's domestic or international, doesn't matter. It's equally important, right?
Absolutely. And I know, you know, there's a lot of talk these days about different kinds of assessment tools and how they work and how thorough they can be or should be. And I think that, you know, that's really a great thing. And I know NetExpat has just put one out, and I heard a great presentation on that at NFTC in New York in July. And absolutely, and I think it's a really tough thing for companies to assess, i.e. how well children will fare, because they don't have access to the knowledge that is that's going to give them those answers. I mean, you know, if you're assessing how well Fred might succeed in Italy, well, at least you get to see Fred every day and you know who he is. But you don't know anything about Fred's children, and you don't know if they have dyslexia or autism or if they have an anxiety disorder or if, and you can't really ask Fred that either. And so I think it's tough, but I think that, you know, there are ways to help families think through pre-decision questions without invading their privacy entirely. And I think it's really good when companies do that. Sometimes it results in an assignment not happening. And, you know, there have been times when we're kind of the bad guy initially because we said, hey, we think this assignment really isn't going to work because there's nothing in Tokyo that's going to meet this child's needs. And so that's sort of unfortunate when we come down with that news. But at the end of the day, you know, maybe we saved the company $800,000 or whatever in having that assignment go off the books early.
Global talent today is so much in demand that the family has to be brought into this early in the process as a career planning device. Wouldn't you say so?
Absolutely. And when you attend conferences and you listen to what global mobility professionals are reporting about in an age when talent management, talent retention, you know, those are really kind of the buzzwords and the focus. You're absolutely right. You know, looking not just at the potential assignee, but at the whole family, and is this going to work, and is the spouse going to adapt, and how are the children going to fare? I think one has to be more holistic in approaching these things, in gauging the viability and the success of an assignment. Absolutely.
Let's talk about some practical things here. So are you an advocate of multilingual training from the earliest possible age?
I am. I think that, you know, children are such sponges for learning languages, and supposedly after the age of 8, you lose the ability to develop a native accent because of how the brain develops and where language gets compartmentalized in the brain. And so the early years are really the time to learn a second language and a third language and so forth. I think it's a shame in the U.S. that we don't emphasize that enough in our education system, but that may change in years to come. I hope it will. And I think kids around the world who are, you know, bilingual and trilingual as of an early age really have an advantage over everybody else.
Let's just say, for instance, that I work for a large company, and they've asked me to head a project in Hong Kong, and I've got young kids, 10, 12 years old, and I need to be there in 30 days, and I need to get them into school. Is that possible, or what happens?
I'd say you're out of luck, Ed. No. Well, that brings me to my big pieces of advice for corporations, which is that they really need to educate themselves on the educational landscape of the locations where they're sending families, because there are certain areas in the world where the demand for American, British, international education, the demand is simply outstrips supply. And Hong Kong is one of those places where the waiting lists for international schools are long. And I think very understandably a company is thinking, well, we want to put Ed on the ground in Hong Kong and we can get him his visa and we can set him up with temporary housing. And they're kind of thinking about it in terms of those immediate concerns. And something like a realistic time frame for getting kids into school may not be front and foremost on their radar screen. And a place like Hong Kong, it's, you know, you could get lucky and maybe you can turn it around overnight, but that would be an example of a place where you might be on a waiting list for several months. And so it might be that you absolutely want your family to come with you when you go, and maybe homeschooling could be put into effect, or maybe there would be some kind of creative plan B or plan C that could be a stopgap measure. But that is one of those locations where, in general, one needs advanced planning if one's going to make the schooling piece work really well.
To what extent do you, as a counselor,
yeah,
as a service provider, to what extent would you, in that case, reach out to the corporate administrator and say, hey, you don't know this, but I do. What are you going to do about it?
Well, it usually happens that we, in, you know, let's say a company has decided to send somebody to Hong Kong. However that company comes to us, whether they pick up the phone and they call us directly or whether they come to us through their relocation company for whom we're a provider, there usually is a pretty tight working relationship with that corporation in that they're going to say to us, how quickly can you make this happen? And then it is an ongoing dialogue where the first thing we have to do is speak with the family, because before we can even call a school, we need to understand who those children are we're trying to place, because an 11th grader who is a 4.0 student and an academic rock star will have very different needs from perhaps a bilingual first grader who has a completely different profile. So first we always say our first stop is the family, so we understand who we're trying to place. Then we will do our research, and then we're kind of having two conversations simultaneously. We're having a confidential and very personal conversation with the family while we're working to place their children in school. And we're also updating the corporation and saying, hey, let's say it's April, and they're trying, you know, it looks good that we're going to have them in school for the start of the new academic year, in end of August, beginning of September, or it looks like we're going to have one child in, the second one will be waitlisted, but let's think about what we can do to put a plan in place for that second child if the company and the family are willing. And that might be a private tutor. It might be homeschooling with a private tutor, whatever that creative plan might look like. But there's usually a pretty close or ongoing dialogue with the corporate client throughout that process.
So would you say you spend half your time counseling corporate administrators?
No, but I wish I did. I think, no, we spend most of our time working with the families. A lot of our clients have known us for years. They literally send us an email and say, here, call Ed Cohen. He's moving to Papua New Guinea and he needs his three kids into school. And they know us. They know their families are safe with us. They hand us the contact information and they sort of say, let us know if there are any showstoppers. There are some companies who work with us that way. And then there are other companies who are much more interested in ongoing updates. and really wanting to talk bigger picture items. And a lot of companies will call us up not necessarily knowing what they need. You know, they'll sort of say, hey, we're going to be moving 50 employees to a certain location, and we don't know if there are going to be problems with the schooling, and we don't know how they're going to feel about this move, and we haven't really decided yet on what level of education benefits we're going to give them. So we're not really sure what problems we're going to face, but we think we are going to face some. What do you think? And they're really looking to us to genuinely consult with them and educate them and work with them on creating a plan for whatever their scenario might be, maybe a remote location where there's no appropriate schooling, to a move to an area where there aren't a lot of spaces in international schools. And they're really looking to us to sculpt a service and make the plan with them. So it really varies. But sorry, I kind of got away from your question. Those are the times when we really get to consult with, educate, partner with HR and Global Mobility, and those are typically really fun and exciting projects for us.
So once again, we're talking with Elizabeth Sawyer. Elizabeth Sawyer, CEO, owner of BSW, Bennett School Placement Worldwide. What is the website?
Oh, our website, it's a very easy one to remember. It is schoolplacement.com. So www.schoolplacement, that's singular, all one word, schoolplacement.com.
Great. Okay. Thank you, Elizabeth Sawyer, for being our guest on Global HR Talk Radio Show. This is Ed Cohen, editor of Global HR News, signing off.
I think to myself.